When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
All right, happy to welcome you back to the show as we continue on. Don't forget, Hurricanes and Cal on Saturday night. Don Bailey Jr. and I, along with Josh Dare, will have the call. Kickoff at 10:30, so set your alarm clocks. We'll be on the air at 6 p.m., but 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff. Joining us now from the ACC Network and former Seminole quarterback E.J. Manuel, doing great work on the ACC Network. E.J., thank you for being with us. Let's start off this. On a positive note for Miami, what do you see so far in the Miami Hurricanes?
Oh, well, Joe, first off, thanks for having me, because I know that I am a Seminole by degree, but I got love for the Canes, man. These guys are playing excellent football. And you mentioned starting on a positive note. It's like, which note do you want to start on? Because yeah, there's so many positives from this football team. And obviously the big one, man, is for them to pull out that victory against Virginia Tech. And I understand it was a debatable call there at the end of the game, but ultimately, I feel like that was the first time Miami really has some adversity in the ballgame, in a sense of where Cam Ward, the star quarterback, has an early fumble and the defense has to bow their neck a little bit and make some stops with some short field positions for Virginia Tech. And, you know, Virginia Tech answers back with some touchdowns of their own. Like, it was just a good back and forth, good old fashioned college football game. And I thought that was huge for us in the ACC. But, you know, in years past, Joe, I think Miami would have lost that kind of game. You know what I mean? And they would have been up early and started the season extremely strong like they have, being 4-0 going into that one. And then, you know, have one or two things happen where the ball doesn't roll their way and end up coming up with a loss. Now, if they had lost that game, I don't think anyone would have said, hey, this is a down year for Miami. Like, this is a very good football team nonetheless. But I was impressed with the fact that they did win the game. And so that one alone was very impressive to me. And I know we're going to get into Cam Ward throughout this interview, but that dude, man, he is just playing at such a high level to where he's poised. You know, even when he makes mistakes, whether it's an interception or a fumble, you don't see him ever get down on himself. Like, he has elite confidence in him as a quarterback. And, Joe, that permeates throughout the entire team. You see that with his receivers. You see that with offensive lines, running backs, the defensive coaches. Like, everybody just looks to the quarterback. And when they see that, hey, his head's still high after a mistake, hey, we're going to be fine. We'll get the ball back for you. And that's exactly what this Miami team is doing, playing good football in all three phases, offense, defense, and special teams.
You know, it's funny. Cam Ward, he makes these plays that I guess you would say would go against the discipline of being a quarterback, these across the body, across the field throws. But I feel like if you say, Cam, we have to take that out of your repertoire, you're just taking away what he does. That's, you got to live with it. That's part of his gunslinging.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny because when I was a quarterback at Florida State, even, or even in the NFL, and this is 10 to 15 years ago, you know, the things that we were taught, you know, as quarterbacks, 3-step and a hitch and a gun, 5-step and a hitch and a gun for routes that were, you know, 15 plus yards down the field. Whereas it's not even just Cam doing this. I think this is now, we're in an era where the quarterback position is truly about, you know, making plays. And it's always been that way. But I think 15 years ago, it was almost something where, you know, coaches kind of came down on you for it. And I think, one, Cam has earned the right to have that freedom. You know, because it'd be one thing if he was throwing the ball and having a lot of turnovers and all that kind of stuff. He hasn't. I mean, you got to live with some of the good and the bad, because the good is really going to outweigh, you know, the bad in his play. And so I think the timing of where we are as football people and where coaches are kind of more open to players just being themselves and having their own style of how they want to play quarterback. Because, again, like I said, 15 years ago, everybody wanted you to be like Steve Young or like Joe Montana or like Tom Brady, like very like statue-like, 5 steps in a hitch throw, 5 steps. Like, nah, man, football is, hey, drop back and make a play. You know what I mean? If you got a shovel pass, a check down to your tight end for a 30-yard gain to almost score, to almost win the game, so be it. And I think that's what you get from Cam Ward, that ultimate confidence to make any kind of play at any kind of moment.
Yeah. E.J. Manuel is our guest. You've seen Miami a lot through the years as an analyst and as a former player. when you look at their offense conducted by Shannon Dawson with Cam Ward, what do you see in their offense? What do you like about their offense?
Well, I love the fact that the ball gets spread out to everybody. This is an offense where anybody can get it, you know, and I think in that game against Virginia Tech, maybe 9 guys caught a football, running backs involved, tight ends involved, which means you're getting the check downs, you're getting late into your progression as a quarterback. And again, that's because of the tutelage of Cam Ward. But Xavier Restrepo, to me, is one of my favorite players to watch and even study, because third downs and even in the first and the second down, he just finds ways to get open. He's not even the fastest guy on the field. He just has a great knack and a great understanding of zone coverages and where to kind of slow his body down before he runs himself into being covered, little small things like that. And you mix, I guess, the mentality and like the know-how with an air raid offense that Shannon Dawson has. I mean, it's an open book for everybody to get yards. And then you have a gunslinger that can literally do it and get the ball to all these guys. I mean, you're going to have a championship caliber kind of team too, because now you can score points. If you can score 30 plus every game, that takes a lot of pressure off your defense. And you just say, hey, guys, just holding the 31 or holding the 28, we're going to get a win. That's a big thing, and I think that's what Miami is this year.
I don't know if you happen to see it. Well, I want to talk to you about Elijah Arroyo, the tight end. He was on our show earlier with Restrepo. Arroyo is averaging 24 yards a catch. He leads the league in that department. But I don't know if you had a chance to see his play where he ran down Caleb Spencer on the interception. It's on the All-22. He ran. He was on one sideline. Spencer was on the other. He probably ran, I don't know, 150 yards to catch him. EJ, when you see a player, and you know they show this video to the entire team, when you see a teammate make that kind of play of desire, what kind of effect do you think it has on the rest of the team?
Well, see, this is what I mean. This is why this Miami team is different, because now it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be a great teammate because I believe in what Coach Cristobal has been telling us for the past 3 years. I believe in the guy next to me. And those are the types of plays that I recall seeing my teammates make when I was at Florida State, when we were really good, you know, when we had a championship caliber football team. And that's Arroyo having his brother's back. You know, you have an interception. All right, well, I'm still going to put the effort forward to not, yeah, you got the pick, but I'm not going to let you score. You know what I mean? I think there was even one where Cam Ward might have thrown an interception or a fumble or something, and he made the tackle. Like, guys are still selling out and giving that extra effort. And, you know, really selling out for their football team. So besides the stuff that we see Arroyo doing with the touchdown catches and the catches that he's made, it's also, like you mentioned, Joe, that extra effort to help his team win. Because, look, if he doesn't make that tackle, Virginia Tech might score. Maybe that's the difference in the actual ballgame. We don't even get to that jump pass at the end of it, right? So I think, you know, that's where Miami has kind of really kind of turned the curve of understanding how to win versus just trying to win. I think Miami is at a point where they're like, nah, this is how we win, and this is what we're going to do with those extra effort plays.
At being a quarterback, again, if you look at the Miami defense, what jumps out at you?
Well, the big thing is the front. And the wildest part is we haven't even seen a lot of Reuben Bain. I'm assuming he has an injury, but imagine, Joe, when he's coming back, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you look at, you know, these guys they've gotten in the transfer portal, bringing back Mezador, get a guy in the portal like Michelle Powell, who has championship caliber, championship experience when he was at the University of Washington. Wesley Bissaint, you know, a staple within this defense. Francisco Malinoa, also doing a great job. Simeon Barrow, so many different names. And even the secondary. I know they did give up some big plays to Virginia Tech, but everybody does. Corners are going to get beat. That's part of the position. But ultimately, the thing that I've enjoyed is just seeing how they can get after the passer. And look, that's going to have to continue because Miami still does play some pretty good offenses throughout the season. They got Cal. I think they easily handled that one on the road. But then Louisville's decent. And then outside of that, Florida State's struggling. Duke's decent. Georgia Tech has a decent quarterback as well. So they'll still be challenged. And I think right now Miami's sitting in a really good spot defensively as well, to have guys that can get after the passer. That's the biggest thing.
I do believe they expect Bain back against Cal. I do want to ask you about some of the things going on in the ACC, but I also want to get your thoughts. Okay, so the last play, it's ruled a touchdown. There's been a lot of discussion about how the ACC handled this thing. Some of that I feel like is just because it's Miami. But originally I thought the mistake they made was they should have ruled it incomplete and then went from there and then reviewed it after that. I think their mistake was they ruled it a touchdown, which put them in a real pickle. But what were your thoughts on how the end of the game was handled or managed?
Yeah, well, I'll just say when I first saw it happen live, I did not think it was a catch just because of the way that the ball kind of bounced around and almost disappeared when all the players went up for a catch. So I initially didn't think that they would deem it a catch. But then when they caught it a touchdown, truthfully, Joe, there was no evidence to say it was. I put it like this way. If you say it was a touchdown, I didn't see any evidence to say, okay, well, it's not a touchdown. Because generally, you don't see the ball until it kind of just comes out. And so I think the way that they made the call initially, like you said, it should have been incomplete. And then I think the play should have stand. Either way, I think it was an incomplete pass because the receiver did not survive the ground. And then also, if you look at where their bodies kind of lay on the ground, they're out of bounds too. Right. So it was obviously a bang-bang play. But you're right. I mean, I was kind of shocked that they found enough evidence to overturn what they called, which was a touchdown.
It was a hell of a throw by Drones. I give him that. I just feel like, you know, as the guy that was calling the game and the play was below me, I kind of felt, I said it was juggled around. I kind of felt like, as you said, he never had complete control of it, although it was a wonderful, wonderful, incredible effort by the receiver.
Yeah, no, the effort was excellent, but it was a great effort even by the DB to continue to play through the play.
Horton. Right.
Was, but yeah, I mean, he kind of knocked it out. He kind of was the one that was like, you know, with his hand just kind of shoo the ball out of the receiver's arms. And again, that's why I think you called it an incomplete pass, because if the receiver clearly had the ball with a nice firm grip, that ball's not coming out. Yeah. You know, you just kind of survive all the mayhem that's going on in that moment. So, you know, again, that's that extra effort play, those little small inches that Miami is making, man, on a weekly basis, and it's helping them win ball games.
Yeah, that was made by a wide receiver, Horton. I should mention that Horton made a heck of a play. Went in there because he's the tallest guy they have, and had never been in that position. He just kept trying to rake the ball away. So, yeah, a lot of credit to Isaiah Horton. EJ Manuel is our guest. I guess this is a twofold question. Since Clemson is playing at Florida State, Clemson is hot. So the question is, what's happened to Klubnik? He's really turned it on. And then, of course, I have to ask you, what's going on with Florida State?
Yeah, well, Klubnik is just playing with a ton of confidence, Joe. I think he's really gotten the ownership of this offense. I'll go back to when they got blown out by Georgia. I think that was a good moment for him to realize, hey, if I want to play championship caliber football, this is kind of the level. Like, this is how it is. And I think he realized that he has to up his play, and it starts with him. And since then, man, I mean, he's been on a tear. You know, he's completing a lot of his passes. He's throwing for a bunch of yards. He's giving his receivers opportunities to go deep. And I think that's the part where Clemson fans specifically wanted to see this offense take that next step. You know, you bring in guys like Brian Wesco, bring back a receiver like Antonio Williams, the young kid Tyler Brown, Jake Brenningstuhl, the tight end. All these players are starting to get back into that mode of, like, attacking you vertically. And I think that's when Clemson plays their best football. And, look, you know, Florida State is in – I don't even know how to describe it, Joe. I'm just so shocked to see how this team has played. They're not great on defense. They're not great on offense. They're not really good at anything right now. As wild as that is to say, besides special teams, and I say that in all sincerity, like the special teams is really good. Fitzgerald and Mastromano, those guys are Sunday guys, but you just don't see the consistency from this team. And they have good players, man. I think that's the toughest part and most frustrating part, is because these players are talented. He's just wondering, like, why is this not carrying over into the football field and they're getting victories? So I was at the game in Dallas against SMU. You know, Florida State's defensive line couldn't really hold the point. Rashard Smith, who was actually a former Cane, had a day, well over 100 yards rushing. He looked nice and fresh. The young quarterback, Kevin Jennings, was seeing the field clearly. Rhett Lashley, their head coach, caught a great game. He really did. I mean, he caught a game where the quarterback could see the field. All his reads were crisp and clean. He put a ball out there for them to make plays. And then, you know, Florida State just turning it over. You know, I think that's going to always be an issue in any game you play, especially on a road and hostile environment. You're not going to win like that. And so not sure what they're going to do moving forward. I did read that DJU has an injury, so I'm not sure that's something where he's out for multiple weeks or not, but doesn't sound like they're going to have him for the Clemson game, which is pretty ironic.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting indeed. I think it's pretty fair to say right now, and we'll see how that goes, right now Clemson, Miami, Louisville are the three best in the ACC, and I don't discount Louisville because I think Braum calls a heck of a game as well.
Yeah, but don't sleep on Duke either. Yeah. You know, shout out to Manny Diaz. I mean, he has his team sitting at 5-0. That was a wild game that they won this past Saturday, coming back against North Carolina. Don't sleep on SMU. I think they're going to wake some people up, especially now that they know who their quarterback is, and Kevin Jennings. I like Pitt a lot. They're also undefeated. Haven't played an ACC game, but the two comeback victories that they had show me that this team has grit. They have the know-how. They have that heart that you want to see in a football team, and Syracuse. So I think there's probably still seven teams I think are all in the hunt. And again, Joe, it's super early. It's still very early. We're just getting into October. So a lot of these games will, you know, start to decide who's going to be the front runner. But I do think the main three right now, Clemson sitting really nice, Miami sitting nice, and Louisville. But these other teams are right at their heels.
Miami does have Duke, they do have Louisville, and they do have Syracuse on the schedule. So if they're going to win it, they'll have to go through those teams. EJ Manuel has been our guest, ACC Network. You can catch EJ's work on the ACC Network. Former Seminole quarterback, but now I do believe you're a South Florida resident. So you've come down to paradise.
Hey, and Joe, let me add, again, thanks for having me on the show. I'm also on SiriusXM Channel 84, a show called Off Campus, co-host with Jacob Hester, former LSU Tiger and NFL running back. So you guys can also listen to me there every week, weekday, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. If you guys want to take a listen.
All right, we got you, SiriusXM Radio, ACC Network. You've got it all covered with all those guys, and Hester's a bit of a character.
Oh, absolutely. And look, Joe, I'm going to call you to come on our show sometime too, man, because the Canes are hot. So we definitely want to have some conversations. So we'll be in touch without a doubt.
Yeah, be more than happy. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll be watching, and thank you for being with us.
Anytime. Thanks, Joe.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.